Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide us as we go through this short life that we have, and guide us to and in your truth. May we serve the kingdom of God, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For generation upon generation, men have wanted to know the truth, and we have God's truth in the Bible. We seek truth as we go through life, and men have many things to pursue. It might be peace and safety, it might be pleasure, it might be the conflict of wars that go on. And the United States has been a big force in the world for everything, for peace, for war, for safety, for everything, good and bad. And just now in the world, the USA has been borrowing almost hundreds of billions of dollars to support Ukraine's war with Russia. Where does that leave the United States morally? And here now, these days, both NATO and the USA are supplying missiles and targeting information to Ukraine to strike Russia's military and civilian targets. And now, Russian President Putin has called America an enemy. That's something that hasn't been done, not in recent memory. And there are Russian ships now around Cuba, and it is a reminder for us to stay alert and prepared. As we see what goes on in life, we struggle to deal with all the things that are pressing upon us. Often enough, we like a little story. We like to hear what has happened to somebody else, even for us to get a thrill when there is an emotional content, or when the hero of the story survives or has a sense of honor still intact. Well, warriors are sensitive to those things. We like to hear about honor and a reward for honor. And that's a part of what ribbons and medals are about. Acknowledgement of what a person did with honor for the situation. That's always been the case for Greek heroes, for Bible heroes. The stories are still talked about, and we recognize people's moral and honorable behavior when they practice the ideals. And often enough, the ideals are not reality, but we know that people do the best they can when they have that honor and integrity. Have you noticed how many military men, let's just say in Western countries at least, because that's where we are, they sometime will not even say a word about their war experience because it's just too much. War is powerful, and for some reason, to have people dying and suffering around other persons in a war, people just don't want to talk about that war experience. So that's something to pay attention to also. We have lots of people these days that are families, and they understand what military life is about. It is about sacrifice and love of country and love of your fellow man, love of God. And so we have situations where there is a respect going on in service, in war, military service. And we are sensitive to the things that have gone on in the past, like the draft dodgers that went to Canada in the Vietnam War. And for some, it will seem justified. For others, it will seem like they escaped. And we have that going on right now with people who want to escape war service at a time when war service is, in other countries, looking like a universal conscription for men and for women. It's all going to be very interesting what we see coming about. We see the honor of people and of countries that are being questioned. What a contrast to some of our tradition where we have George Washington saying, "I cannot tell a lie." And also, like 100 years ago, there were many people who would say, "My word is my bond." And yet we have people these days who will very easily tell a lie. We have very many people around, just as we have throughout history, where there are derelict people and bandits who would steal, kill, and destroy. That's been throughout history, and people have been viewed one way or the other. So we go through life with a struggle to do what is right and honorable, especially as God-fearing people. So we have people who do good and righteous things. Often enough, they are Christian people. Often they are missionaries who will give of their time and their material wealth for the sake of other people. And then we have the other people, like I said, the derelicts and the bandits, who will go listen to the missionaries and get the free meal that there is offered and then continue on with life. It's history. It's the way things go. It seems like every time in life we have a similar experience of people with a certain sense of righteous honor and a certain group of people who do not have that. And nowadays we have so many people who are living an easy life. It is easy because the things are supplied by either governments or organizations, and people can live with having the food that they need and a little recreation. That's life today. Well, there still are the two different groups of people. Let's call them the, moral or righteous people. And there are the immoral and unrighteous people that might be liars and thieves or derelicts and bandits. And we have this going on today in our very neighborhood, our very country, in the very world. It's everywhere. And we get to try to understand who is who and become attached to the people who hold our values. This is a common human experience. I know we have things going on because in the courts and in Congress and the Senate of the United States, we hear of testimony of all sorts of people. Often you can look through what they are saying and determine if they are righteous or unrighteous. Oh, well, maybe that's a little too strongly said. If they are telling the truth or not telling the truth, what is in their character to do? Well, we have a country that is full of difficulties, full of a certain crisis going on. And a part of it is with the undocumented border crossers that are going on. Let's see, I just heard this come out of a congressional testimony. So it's probably rather correct that often under Trump, there were 350 border crossers apprehended. And now under this president guy, there are 22,000 border crossers. Well, that was last year. This year, 27,000 border crossers that were apprehended. And of course, they get let go in the country. It's a very concerning situation. And you know that some countries, like China, do not let anyone out of their country without their permission. And other countries are like that too. You have to get permission to leave. And some people just enter the United States with hopes of financial rewards or even just having a free meal. It's a situation that is getting more and more concerning. People are getting, oh yes, there you go, more concerned. And we know that there are, well, I think they are terrorist people. And certainly there are people that have come out of prison that might not have the morality that we would like to see in our neighbors. So we have a situation going on all around us, and I think a big part of the reason is because of our relationship with God, Jesus Christ. If we were a righteous people, we would demand a righteous government and righteous people around us. But we let things go. And our middle class, our American way of life is declining greatly. And we see the things going on around us. I have seen them myself also because of, well, since I've retired, I'd have more experience with talking with pastors and ex-convicts. What a wake-up call to find out how many people there are that are on one side or the other of righteousness. Now, some people change. I know there's ex-convicts who have changed, and we hear of people who have been in the body of Christ who will change and reject Christ. We have every kind of people going on today with life. And we are trying to be a strong and capable people, but we're not always strong. And certainly as I've gotten older, I know I'm not the same person, and I have to be careful with whatever's going on around me too. I think many people who hear this message will realize they used to be more capable, and they have to be more careful in life. And a part of that, which we can all do, is be a group of people that are going about our chores and our business. Somehow, that's how it works in some of the other countries. If you're going to the store, you bring 8 or 10 people with you, all go and do their shopping, and then they leave together. And that's more of a third world tactic, but we might want to do that here in the United States. So many Americans do not realize what's going on. They don't even realize the food shortages that are happening in America. They don't listen to the reports by the farmers who talk about fields being left to rot because maybe they can't get water. Maybe there's a problem with what the government requirement is. And now we're having complications with chicken eggs and meat from cows and from chickens. All these things are going on, and we want to find the simple answers to how we can fix things. We have a little problem when we think we can rely on other people to fix them. When we think we can rely on the government to fix things. We are in a situation in America where there are multiple forces at work. There are the good guys and the bad guys. And there is a part where we have to determine how we are going to stand. Do we stand for our country? Do we stand for the people who are seeking a better life? They might be illegals coming into our country. Somehow, we have a situation where things are getting a little bit chaotic, a little bit out of control. And I know in other countries, when the crowds get out of control, the police come in with tear gas and batons and force people into the behavior that they're trying to have happen. It's something which we have to consider what is going on in this world we live in and what goes on in the hearts of men. It's a problem that has always existed and continues to exist. So let's become good, decent, moral people that are followers of Jesus Christ, and things will line up much better. But so many people are not like that today, and we get to see the evidence around us that life has changed. America has changed. And on every level, we are seeing a change that is not good. We see that people have turned from God, and now God is turning on America. Now, when you look at every culture in the past, I think everyone, go from Babylon to Assyria to Persia and Mesopotamia and Persia and the Greek and the Roman and even the Asian cultures, the Chinese and the Japanese, all the cultures have gone through a process of becoming moral and strong and then declining. Now, our modern history has talked about that with the Austrian, with the Spanish, with the French, with the British, and now with America, we have a decline that is coming about. And what should we do about it? A lot of people think we should dig into a shelter and live there. Well, how about if we help to make people, well, not make them, but the behavior that we expect to be moral and righteous. And that's a part of what a righteous society does. It calls on people to be moral and righteous. But that's not what's going on in the world. There's always been a process of decay, of civilization moving closer and closer to a fall. And it seems like that's what's going on right here in America. We are going closer and closer to decay and collapse. So we have mistakes that have always been made, but if we can't fix the mistakes and turn to a righteous behavior, then the decline continues. Why are things declining? Well, I think in the first half of my younger, when I was younger, I would have said things are declining because of the mistakes society is doing. Now, in the second half of life, I would say that society is declining because the people have moved away from God. We're no longer obedient to the will of God, which is spelled out in the Bible. And that, I think, is the big determining factor. Well, now I would say in all of human history. And I am thankful to God that I have had enough life and study to ponder these historical events and come to this conclusion. So I get to talk about it. And there are a few other people who have this point of view also. And I do get concerned with having enough time and ability to analyze the situations that are in front of us, to analyze history and to see what has caused anything in history. But more and more, Americans do not have the attention span to look at a problem and follow it out to understand where it is coming from and where it is going to. We used to have more time in life to ponder and consider, but now, with so many things going on around us, with texting or TikTok or social media, these have shortened our already short attention spans. And we regular people can have a hard time understanding what is going on and what to expect in the future. There are plenty of people who say hard times are coming. There are plenty of people who are saying that there will be war in the near future. And of course, we do have war going on in the world. Right now, we are moving closer and closer to a conflict between U.S. and Russia. A part of it has been financial. Just a few months ago, the USA froze Russian assets in the USA. $300 billion worth of assets. And then last week, America allowed some of these assets to go to benefit Ukraine and the arms that USA is sending to Ukraine. So, we froze Russian assets in USA, and now Russia has froze U.S. assets in Russia. And look what's going on. I just said $300 billion of Russian assets were frozen. And we know that wars have started for far less than $300 billion. So we are looking at what could happen with war. We could look at what could happen with missiles that are going on. We have Ukraine shooting missiles into Russia, both in civilian and in military areas. And now, the Russian President Putin has declared America to be an enemy of Russia. Now, enemy is a really big word. It carries with it a lot of connotations, and they're not good. So we have Putin saying that America is an enemy of Russia, and we have the Kremlin spokesman, Dmitry Bezkhaz. He clearly said that the USA is an enemy of Russia, and now Russia is sending a submarine and ships to Cuba on exercises. They will also be in the Caribbean. So there you have Russian troops and ships 100 miles or so, more or less, off the coast of USA. And there is a discussion of if there is nuclear weapons on board the ships and the submarine. Nobody knows. Russia says there are no nuclear weapons on board those ships and the submarine, but there have been in the past, so I guess we won't know until we know. When trouble comes, then it's too late to prepare, and we ought to remember that trouble can develop rather quickly. So if there are things that you would like to have on hand, by all means, get some food and supplies. Now, what would God say to do? I know there's plenty of people who talk about turning the other cheek. There are people who say, live and be happy. But there are other parts to the Bible that tells us that we have more responsibility to do than just to live the life that we want. We are here to speak about God, Jesus Christ, And our Bible tells us to do that also. So, it's a matter for each one of us to do that according to our conscience and what is right in God's will. We learn God's will when we read the Bible. And always, that's a good thing to do. Well, with this Russia thing, we do have a question of what will happen with Russian missiles, with Russian submarines and military boats. How many warheads does it have? Are they nuclear warheads? What's going on with that? And a lot of things we really don't know. Russia has said there are no nuclear warheads there. But who believes who? With all the deceptions that are going on, we have a little concern about what the truth is. What is going on? And of course, some people are very concerned, and some people don't have a concern at all. Their concern is getting their morning cup of coffee. But we are all different, and we can see there is a reason to prepare with one thing or another, and everyone prepares differently. I always think of food, water, food, and warmth, and community. So beyond that, or including in that, we all have a different idea of what to do. It's a good idea to do something while you can, because if it ever happens that there does develop conflict or war, all of our emergency supplies disappear. We can't find anything. In the stores, it has already been bought up. And the warehouses don't have much extra either. There are no warehouses of what we want and what we need. So look what you might need right now and start on a plan to get your short-term and long-term supplies. There certainly are people concerned with what's going on and the truth, and often enough, people rely on the authorities to tell them what is happening. People rely on the churches and the pastors to tell them what is happening and what we should do. But we really have a Holy Spirit that tells us what to do. And yes, we each want to have that relation with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, to guide us as to what to do and how to make our lives better. That doesn't necessarily mean easier, but it can be easier. It's a matter that we all try to understand. Is our best life here on earth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, or is it to have enough water, food, and warmth, a house over our heads? It's something which it's an individual choice, and we get to look at the morality of what we decide. Now, we do have people who believe that nothing bad will ever happen. I think of 2 Peter 3:4 as the example to that, where people are saying, where is the promise of his coming? And the fathers fell asleep many years ago. So all things continue as they have from the beginning of creation. These people will say, nothing will ever change. Don't worry. Be happy. And there's no need to prepare because everything is good. Well, we all decide and we all make decisions that affect our life and our future. But I do think it's interesting that passage in 2 Peter 3 talks about where is the promise of his coming. And we read about Jesus in our Bible, when is the promise of his coming? And we don't know the timing of it. We don't know the timing at all. We can see where it should be now because of the events in the, the Bible that are happening here on earth, but we don't know that it couldn't be many years in the future. And that's a part of our concern. What will happen now and what will happen in the future? Well, there are people who say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's out of 1 Corinthians 15. It's also in Isaiah 22:13. And so, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, is an attitude that so many people have. That's the only thing they want to be concerned with, and not to think about either the salvation of other people or the things that would happen if there was a war. They just think about right now. And that's how they are. You tell them about Jesus, and some people will listen and some people will not. It seems to be a part of what happens when we talk about God to people. Does God exist? And sure, I just said that passage of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And some people don't care if there's a God. All they want is a little pleasure in this life. And that's the choice we all make. I think of how we can see God in nature. And, that's a part there, too, where the Bible tells us we will see the evidence of God in nature. And so when we look, we see. If we never look, we never see. But where did this earth come from? Where did the system of plants and animals come from? How was man created? And for years, I, of course, like so many, went to public school, and I was trying to fit evolution into the plan of things that were going on. After a few years of searching this out, and I realized that evolution was one choice and creation was another. The two of them could not exist. Well, that was obvious to me. Everybody has their own ideas still, but I couldn't make it work. And there are people who will choose evolution instead of God, and other people who will choose God created, and that's the only answer. So we seek and we try to understand. Just like life, we go through experiences and try to figure the things out. I've also realized that it's a young earth that we have. When we look at the evidence around us, we have people who come up with conclusions and will tell you about thousands or millions of years. But we also have Christians who talk about a 6,000-year-old earth, and they have evidence too. They have questions that are not answered by science. So there again, we get to make the decision. What will we choose? Will we choose God created or an evolutionary theory that is not proven? We choose, and we try to figure out what happens. There's lots of people who are willing to teach us, but even when they speak, we have to listen. We have to have a mind that will try to understand what is going on in front of us. And that is another part of life. What's going on? Is it God did something, or is it evolution did something? And by the way, what is evolution? Chance and random occurrences, where living things were made out of dead dirt. Well, we all have our ideas. And I know when I was just changing from evolution to God created, I tried to make things sensible also. And then I found out they could not be made sensible. They were not sensible. So what were we going to do? make a choice, make a decision. Only one or the other can be right. So that's what we do. We search out the truth and make a decision. Well, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas and understand that there are coincidences and there are things that happen by random chance. But there are also circumstances that God creates. And really, the only answer is God created. And God allows certain situations to come about. And that's a part of why we pray. We pray for understanding, and we pray for a wonderful outcome. So that's what we do over and over. I certainly am thankful for the many Bible study teachers that I have had. I've had a few. And so they answer questions. They look at things in a way that is biblical. And for a guy who grew up with an evolutionary public school, I needed those reasonable answers, things that made sense. And the Bible teachers have them, and I had plenty of questions as I read through the Bible. It's a good thing to do. And so we have experience in life, and then we evaluate it. I certainly see all sorts of troubles in life that are just natural, a natural path of trouble. It's the human experience to have this and that come up right in front of you. And what do we do about it? I think the answer is we choose one side or another, either God or call it a human experience of evolution. Is there really an answer? I think there gets to be an answer, but it's something we all get to look at and try to understand. We are distracted by arguments about politics, about the world, about everything, about the earth and what is in the earth. Yeah, we could drill to 15,000 feet deep and still not know the answers. Why is the earth hot? What is gravity? Or we ask the questions of, is there a God? And why were we created? And eventually, we do have answers for those questions, and we get to decide if we will agree with and believe the biblical answers or the human answers. I think searching it out is worthwhile, because then we get to have our faith in Christ grow as we learn about the truth of the Bible and of faith. It's a wonderful thing to do. We just have to search it out and understand. God is real. The Bible is true. And what will happen according to the Bible will actually happen completely and fully. So that's a part of what we learn as we search out the truth. Well, we have coincidences in life, and I really do think there are coincidences, but it's a matter of searching out the truth. I know that one thing I've done is I've gone a lot of places and had a lot of experience in life. I've seen a lot of the world, really. And when I was young, I wanted to see the world very much. And I went to many places. At that time, you could buy standby tickets on airplanes, and they were so much cheaper. Or you could find an amazing deal on a ticket. I remember getting long time ago, 40 years ago, there was a standby ticket that I could get to Alaska. And it was very, very cheap because nobody wanted to go to Alaska in the winter. But I went to Alaska in February because I wanted to see the Northern Lights. And I don't know what the ticket was. I think it was probably $89 for a round-trip ticket at that time. And I got to see the Northern Lights. And what an experience that was, because, you know, coming out of California, things are pretty normal. But you go to Alaska, and it's basically dark for 24 hours a day in February. And I did see the Northern Lights. It was a beautiful experience. And it was also quite an experience to go into below zero weather. Yes, I had a parka. I had several pairs of pants on. I was all in very cold weather clothes, and I needed them. It was interesting. I had never been in a weather that cold before. I think it got actually down to 68 below, but 60 degrees below is close enough, because when you're in that kind of weather, the cold just comes right through any crack in your clothes, around your neck, around your cuffs. You want to get some tape and tape the cuff of your pants to your boots, because you just don't want any of that cold air to come close to your body. That cold air comes through the seams of your clothes. It's just a whole nother world to think about 60 below weather. But there I was, learning about it, and I could go outside for about 10 minutes, look for the Northern Lights, and then have to come in and warm up for 20 or 30 minutes to go out again and want to see the Northern Lights for another 5 or 10 minutes. Cold is just something we don't understand. We don't understand that kind of cold. But there are people who love it, and they have a way of life and a society that is revolving around that cold. Oh, just like we have a kind of society that revolves around air conditioning here in the hot weather, in the summertime. It's just a different way of life, and we all find out that we like one thing or another, and we live in a situation that suits us. Well, there are things that I've seen in the world that have been very interesting. I think one of the things that really has got my attention in my earlier first half of life is to see the poverty in the world, as to see people who really don't have anything. And according to the world, America is very, very rich in resources and in what people have. So I recognize that we have great prosperity in America, and other peoples don't have the same level of prosperity. So that has made me both appreciate America and want me to prepare for hard times that I know could come. That's these two things that were about traveling that I learned. And another thing is the blessing that we have with what is available, both in the discount stores and, there's another story. I used to be able to get a bar of soap for a dollar, and then you go to another country and a bar of soap is $3 or $5. But when you know where to shop in America, it's a very good deal. Whether it's a bar of soap or a shirt or any other things that you just think of a normal need. But it's different in different countries. So one of the things I think about as the travel is having clean water, and that's essential, and then having a small medical kit. My medical kit has been basically the same for years now, whether it's for around people or just one that I keep with me. I have a very basic, simple first aid kit. The basics of it are cloth medical tape, gauze pads, and triple antibiotic ointment. Now, I do like some other things, too. I mean, I think Band-Aids are very good because Band-Aids you can give to a young person, a child, and they feel like they have been cared for, and that's as much first aid as they need. Or you can put a bandage on them, too, and that's just sometimes you want to do more or less. I think that burn medicine is very good to have with us also. They come in little packets, and that's what you want, to buy a little packet because you're not going to need very much. But burns are painful, especially for children. So you have a few things. I know I would always have a few of the pills, like 6 or 8 of them, for an antihistamine, acetaminophen, and an anti-diarrheal. So it was a small first aid kit with a little Swiss Army knife because the scissors are so nice. I always liked pointed tweezers too because that will help you get out a well-entrenched splinter or something like that. And that little first aid kit would be one that you could carry in your pocket or on your belt or in your purse. And everybody can think of more things to have, but we make choices in how much we're going to do or not do. And that's the same for traveling and what we do. Are we going to go with the minimum? Or are we going to take changes of clothes and books with us? Well, mostly we go lightweight with few things, and that is so much easier. We have to figure out what in life we are going to do and how we respond to the people in us, around us. And I think of the people that are opposing the United States right now. There are many countries that oppose the United States. I just said Russia considers us to be an enemy. The President Putin said that. And so did the... There's been several people in higher up Russian echelon that have said that the United States is now an enemy country. And those enemy countries can get together, Russia, China, North Korea, Cuba, and Venezuela. They all have a great dislike for the United States. And there are people who consider Mexico to be one of those countries too, because they have said some very anti-American things in the past, or required America's financial help in order to cooperate. Well, all these things are a matter of what are we going to do, because we see there are tensions. We see that there are real struggles going on in the world between different kind of political power, and that includes socialist or communist and capitalist. They oppose one another in the world, and they make children and adults believe very opposite things. Which side are we going to be on? I think the best answer to that is, what side is Jesus on? And that's something which we get to try to understand and then apply it in our life. What would Jesus want you to do? Would he want you to have your country protected? Or would he want us to have hundreds of thousands of migrants in our country? Well, this is a big debate, isn't it? But we do have things going on. We have We have adversaries coming into our country. We have adversaries in our government. And it's something which we all get to figure out. What should we do about it? We get more and more concerned when we see the chaos going on around the world and with the migrants that we have brought into this country. And we don't want to be caught up in a war, because we see war changes a society. As people give power to the politicians, and the politicians send our money overseas or use our money to form an army and take our children and grandchildren to make that army. So we have things going on. How are we going to deal with it all? There are rumors of a draft starting up again with men and women both serving the nation. That's going on in Europe right now. And there's a question of, will this war develop in Ukraine and Russia with NATO? NATO and Russia, it's something which we have to be very aware of. What is going on? What is happening? Do you see the signs of in the news of what's happening? How are we going to protect ourselves and our family and our community? Well, we have to look at all the different areas that we can see and use our mind to think about what's going on. If things... that's a good one. Crash. There's a historian by the name of Victor Davis Hansen who has studied civilizations from Babylon to Persia to the Greek and the Roman civilizations, the Aztecs, the European civilizations with America and Britain also. And he sees that all of these civilizations rise and fall. And that's a part of the question of what is going on right now in America. Well, maybe you can look at a video that he's done and talked about this on YouTube, or you could read his book. That's something which we get more and more information, but we have to come to conclusions about what we're going to do and how we are going to live. Are we going to live so that the human needs and desires are satisfied, or are we going to live with an orientation to God, Jesus Christ, and be obedient to the kingdom of God? We get to see more and more what truth is and determine what we are going to stand for as we go through life. It helps to see, to think and to discuss what has happened to civilizations and realize that that can happen right here in America. Something can happen to bring our civilization to fail. And we can see the signs already. We can study history and see the signs in the past. And we can know the signs that are going on right now. And I hope that we are not surprised when things really do start to fall apart. Well, things have a beginning and they have an end. And we have to realize, how close to the end are we? Now, so many people think of, we are in the end times and Jesus will return soon. And yet it could be decades away and we really don't know. But in some way, in a big way or a small way, we have to look at what we are going to do in life and how we are going to live according to Jesus Christ or according to ourselves. It's people make this choice over and over again. Do we choose to have eternity with God, just like the angels have done? Now, the angels in heaven are obedient to God. The angels in hell are doing what they want to do. And that might have a similarity to the choices that we have. Does it mean that if we do what we want to do, we are headed towards hell? And if we do what God wants us to do, we are headed towards heaven? Well, have a look at that, because it sure could be. And that's what we all do. We examine our understanding for truth, and then we live according to the truth that we know. And every day we live, we are choosing what we do, and a part of that choice is where we spend our eternity. Now remember that you can always listen to any past broadcast of Christ Today, and that is simply what we do. We search for truth, and God guide us, and God bless us, and God bless you, and thank you for today.